Well, as always, I want to begin tonight by expressing to each one of you my sincere gratitude for holding this space. As all the transitions keep happening, and I was watching the moves to different buildings, and I was watching how it was being presented, I was so proud of the way everyone just accepted that there was change coming and moved with gratitude and love into that change rather than fighting it and having any distress about it. What I especially like is the way Mary shares so many of the words and thoughts that are shared at service. I remember just recently reading some of Beth's words and Carol's and Mary's and Lucille's and just feeling like it made it easier for me to find my way back to my light. I'm grateful for that. Because we all know there will always be bad stuff out there, but I had this amazing thought that, you know, light trumps dark every time. Because, you know, you can put a candle in the dark, but you cannot put the dark in a room. You can never put dark into light. For once light is exposed, here we are. So thank you, everyone at Fellowship, for being that light. And I've decided I'm not going to seek the light anymore. I'm going to simply be the light. What I love about Fellowship is that it helps me remember the light. And yet, what was the title I selected for tonight? What do you remember? So when I'm talking about remember in this content, I'm talking about memories. Several years ago, I'd heard this study on NPR, and I was fascinated by it, and it has just stayed with me. They got a group of about 100 people together, and they gave them a memory. It was not their memory, but they asked this group of people to live with this memory like it was their memory. They asked them to talk about it. They asked them to keep, you know, creating with it, and so it would become part of who they were. And interestingly enough, they went back after a year, and they found that almost 80% of the people now thought it really was their memory because they had lived with it. It became their memory. What was even more interesting to me is the memory had changed. Because in the telling, in the remembering, every time we find that we bring a memory out and we talk about it, don't you find that yourself, how sometimes a little bit of it is just a little fuzzy, or something changes in the telling? So, what does that mean then, if we can create a memory, give it to ourselves, and have it become part of who we are? I've also noticed that when I talk to my kids, they'll remember something that I'll look at them and think, that's not how I remember it at all. I don't know where you were, but that's not what happened. And just recently, a girlfriend of mine, we were talking about this, and she had said her older sister had called her and was talking about how her memories of her sister were based on her perceptions at that time, the perceptions her mother brought to the situation, the perceptions her brother brought to the situation, and how as they grew and they would talk, that she learned a totally different version of her sister. That her sister was not these memories that she had of being 7 or 10 or 15. I have found the same situation with my own brother just recently when we started talking, and he realized that how he viewed me was more through my mother's filter than his own. And as we've spent more time together, because of course, we came to our spirituality in different roads, and he often looked at mine like it was a little strange, and he wasn't very comfortable with it. But now over time, he's found that really we have more in common than we're different. And it was time to let go of memories of who we were. So I'm not suggesting that we totally just let go of memory. Although, you know, another true benefit of aging is it comes pretty easy to let go of memory, doesn't it? So I'm celebrating that today, that I don't remember very well anymore a lot of things. But you know, if we use our fears, our superstitions, our delusions to fuel our memories, our monkey minds are just going to keep churning out fake news about ourselves all the time. So, and because, you know, it's so easy to view the future as dark, as if dark is bad, I'd like to offer that I think the past is just simply murky. And perhaps the light that we carry is simply meant to light the very moment that we're in right now. For, you know, if we want to keep believing that anything that's bad, or if we worry long enough it's going to change the past, or certainly affect the future, we're going to find ourselves residing on a planet where there's not very much joy. And I myself, once again, as I learn to be the light, I want to be the joy. I want to be love. Those are the things that I'm aspiring to. And I'm finding that memory often gets in the way. T.S. Eliot once wrote, "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning." I really liked that, that last year's language belongs to a past, and the new language belongs to somebody else who will give voice to it. My job is to simply stand in this moment and give voice to that. And since it appears that memories are going to change, as everything seems want to do, it may be time for us to give up the idea of who we think we are based on those memories, and simply start loving who we really are, right now, not tied to those memories. And if our memories are to be believed, it may be time to give up the idea that certainly any strong attachment or emotion to a memory that belongs to that memory that might be tying us down. For if we start realizing that our memories may not be trustworthy, there's no reason to believe them. There's no reason to tie ourselves to that emotion, that feeling. So what I've been thinking about is, so if that's true, that, you know, we can create memories for ourselves, maybe we need to start creating a happy ending. Maybe we need to say that we have been, we will be always loved. Throughout our time here, we've always been loved. That's part of our memory. Maybe we can start saying that we've always been joyful. We will always be joyful, we have always been joyful, and we will continue to be joyful, because that's part of our memory. So that's how I've chosen to view this experiment that NPR did, was that if people can be given a memory, then I give to myself. My parents loved me. The divine loves me. Everywhere is love. Everywhere is joy. And that's what I'm going to stand in. That's what I'm going to think about. That's what I'm going to keep feeding when I remember. And just think, if we tell ourselves this story long enough, we too will start believing it. So as we recount memory, as we recount our story of how we view ourselves, let's keep remembering to bring good things to that story. That maybe it's time to start feeling like the things that are attached to it that do not feel good to us are not really true. That it's okay to let go of all that. Since memory seems to fade so easy anyway. I mean, how fascinating, really, that a group of people could be given a story to carry with them, because they were simply doing that to look at what happens with memory and who we are and what we are. That story just stayed with me all of this time, to imagine that someone could say to you, "This is a memory, we'd like you to live with it," and it becomes your memory. Fascinating, really. And that they would do this wonderful study on it. And then to think about, once again, how do we view the people around us? Do our memories keep them trapped somewhere where they don't belong? Because the memory that we formed about them really did come from our perceptions of that space and time. I am certain that the memory that and perceptions my mother had of me were not of who I grew into. often as I would listen to her talk about a memory, I would think, well, that's when I was 13. Are you stuck there? Are you trying to keep me when I was 13? Because I'm not 13 anymore. And that's when I finally felt like I needed to start breaking free of memory. And yet it was interesting, we kept talking tonight about remembering. And what I found was is that I love remembering that I'm part of the light. So I'm not suggesting we don't remember. I'm just simply suggesting that we remember the wonders of this world when we remember, instead of the things that might be painful. Because they no longer serve us. And they do get in the way of our relationships. Now that my brother has let go of his preconceived notions of who he thought I was, we have a really nice relationship. I find my nieces and nephews just adore me, and they often say, how come you weren't part of our lives much earlier? And I say, well, you know, your dad thought I might be a bad influence on you. He had to step away from his preconceived notions of who I was so that he could feel comfortable letting me be with you. And now that we're here, we're just having a joyful time. It's so easy to be joyful with young people, isn't it, as they're coming into the world and they're growing into who they are. And I've really found that the memories I want to create for them are built around them hearing me tell them what wonderful people they are. I often think that when I'm with my grandchildren or my nieces and nephews, that I'm creating memories, and I want to make sure that those memories resound with, oh, you are so wonderful, you are so smart, you are so clever. Because none of us hear that enough as it is. And I would always like to be remembered that way, as the person in their life who created that feeling of love, and that you can do anything that you set your mind to, because you are loved. We go so far in this world, don't we, when we feel loved, when we feel supported. So what I was suggesting is that it really doesn't matter what we remember, because we can just change it any old time we want to. And so that's what I'm standing tonight in front of you to help you do, help myself do, to remember what wonderful energy the fellowship has. And that it's not a building at all, is it? It's the people who come. It's the people who join together to share in that and to create memories of joy and love. So a while ago, I found this really cool poem by a gentleman named David White. And I thought I would just leave you with that. Be courageous. See with every turning day how each season wants to make a child of you again. Wants you to become a seeker after rainfall and birdsong. Watch how it weathers you to a testing in the tried and true. Tells you with each falling leaf to leave and slip away, even from the branch that held you. To go where you need to go, to be courageous. To be like that last word you want to say before you leave the world. Thank you for spending this time with me.